As with most things, the idea of religion to the people of the world around us is different than what we ought to see when we think about religion today. I want to talk this morning about what religion means to the Christian. Maybe I should have said, what should religion mean to you or to the Christian? But when we're talking about Christians, it is what it does mean. If it doesn't mean that to you, then maybe you need to take a closer look at whether you are a Christian or not. I'm convinced the things that we will talk about this morning in regards to religion and what it ought to mean to us are fully supported by the pages of Scripture, and I hope by the time we are through this morning, you will feel the same, that you will have seen from the Word of God what we ought to be thinking about when we think about the idea of religion and how it ought to affect us. Certainly when we talk about religion, we consider the definition, the service and adoration of God, or in a secular thing, the supernatural expressed in form of worship, a commitment or devotion to a religious faith or observance. And certainly when we look at that as Christians, we recognize that we're talking about the God of heaven. We're talking about the worship that God has given to us. We're talking about the faith that was once for all delivered, the faith by which the just shall live, that came to us through the deliverance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We also need to recognize that religion can be right or wrong. It can be insincere or sincere. It can be true or false. It can be useful and it can be vain. We've got scriptures that emphasize those ideas to us. In Matthew chapter 15 and verse 9, Jesus said the people there, their devotion to Him, their worship, their honor was in vain because they were teaching and practicing the doctrines of men. James tells us in James chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, if we consider ourselves to be religious, we need to bridle our tongue. We need to control our speech. And then he goes on to say that pure and undefiled religion in the sight of God is to visit the orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Now, if we were to just look at those two things, we might come to the conclusion that all that's involved in religion is keeping ourselves separated from the world, making sure we do the commands of God, and that we're nice to people that are in need. And I guess in a general sense, that's a pretty good summation of all those things, as long as we understand what each of those ideas entail. One thing we might do to determine whether we have religion as we ought to have it as Christians is to test our religion and test it in regards to things that are revealed to us, certainly in the Word of God, if we're going to be recognizing the religion that God would have us to have. When the eunuch was baptized in the book of Acts chapter 8, realized who he was and where he was now in his life, he went on his way rejoicing. The Jews who heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and were obedient to the message presented by Peter and the rest of the apostles in the book of Acts chapter 2 praised God. And Paul later in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 21 and verse 13, said that he was ready to die for the name of the Lord Jesus. While these particular passages may not use the word religion, when we look at the context, we understand that's what's being talked about. These people, as some people in the world today might say, had got religion. They understood what had happened to them, and they had made a change in their life, and it brought about a difference in their attitude and in their focus. And so we might ask ourselves, am I rejoicing? Do I praise God for the condition of my life? And even the what we might consider the extreme of the Apostle Paul, am I so religious in the sight of God that I'm ready to die for the cause of Jesus Christ and His death? are we religious? Some things I think we need to keep in mind when we're considering what religion ought to mean to us and what it should, how it should affect us is that when we're talking about religion and what it ought to mean to the Christian, it ought to mean a purity of life. In Titus chapter 2, and by the way, these are up here in Bible order, not in the order I'm going to use them. In Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 14, Paul tells Titus, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession, zealous for good deeds." And while we may not see the word pure or purify until we get down toward the end of that reading, that is the entire idea of what Paul is telling the young man Timothy. We've received the gospel. We've heard about the salvation so that we can purify ourselves. When we talk about true religion, we talk about the need to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. As James said, we're talking about purifying our lives, getting rid of those things that are not right. We could go back and look at some of the things that were involved in the Old Testament covenant about the necessity of purifying oneself and cleansing oneself of the wickedness and of the sin that they might have been engaged in as they went about their daily lives. If they touched a dead body, they had certain things they had to go through to purify themselves. The one who was going to serve as the high priest had to go through certain purifying rituals. We need to be purified today. Now that begins by having our sins washed away through the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross of Calvary. But it doesn't end there. We've got to get rid of the things of the world in our life. We've got to stay away from them. Because as Jesus tells us in the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, the pure in heart are the ones that are blessed. They are the ones that will see God. We need to understand that our heart is purified by faith. In Acts chapter 15, it's talking about the distinction between the Jews and Gentiles, where they were dealing with the question of circumcision. We read, "He made no distinction between us and them, cleansing their hearts by faith." What do you mean? Well, when they heard the word of God, and they understood what God was expecting of them, it changed them. They got rid of the things of the world and filled themselves up with the things of God. As Paul told the Corinthian brethren later on, they were washed, they were sanctified, because they had gotten rid of who they had been, and now they were someone else. Peter speaks in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22, "Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart," or from a pure heart. Some versions would render that. Through hearing the word of God, we cleanse our heart through faith and trust and the hope that is given to us through the death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior. And this purity of life is demonstrated in how we conduct ourselves. When we talk about, am I religious? What is religion to me? It makes changes in who I am and what I do and how I act. It changes my thoughts. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 tells us we need to change what we're thinking about. "Finally, my brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, right, pure, lovely, of good repute, if there's any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things." What do you mean, Paul? Well, if you're going to be religious, if you're going to be pleasing in the sight of God, if you're going to be a bright light shining in a dark world, you need to think on righteous things. Means I may have to spend a little less time thinking on who's going to be in what college bowl. I may have to spend a little less time worrying about what my coworkers are doing or not doing. spend more time thinking about God. For as he thinks within himself, so is he, the writer of Proverbs says. Our heart, our thoughts need to be pure. When we talk about religion and what it ought to mean to us as Christians in our life, it ought to mean a purity of heart. A cleansing of the world. And all its various difficulties and struggles and wickedness. And filling ourselves with the Word of God. It ought to be demonstrated in our speech. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear, Paul told the Ephesian brethren. What, Paul? Use your speech to encourage and strengthen the brethren. Or as we noticed in the book of Titus this morning in our Bible class, use your speech to rebuke false teachers or the gainsayers. Your religion ought to be reflected in your speech. If anyone thinks himself to be religious but doesn't bridle his tongue, remember that passage, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. Folks, if our religion doesn't change our heart and change our speech, it's not much of a religion, is it? It should also change our actions. Early in the Philippian letter, chapter 2, verse 14 and 15, Paul told those brethren, do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you appear as lights in the world. We need to stand out. As righteous. Wholesome, upright. It shouldn't be that hard for the Christian to be spotted in the wickedness of the world. It should be like somebody turning on a light in a dark room. It should shine forth in our actions. Paul told the Thessalonian brethren to stay away from evil. Abstain from all forms of evil. We need to separate ourselves. We need to be pure. That's what religion ought to mean to a Christian. Purity in our life, our thoughts, our actions, our speech. How we interact with people throughout the world, how we interact with our family, with our brethren, the things that we think about ought to be affected. If we're following true religion as God would have us to. Maybe. If when we look at our hearts and our minds and our thoughts and the things that we talk about and the things that seem to be so important to us, we find it to be things of this world rather than the things of God, maybe what we found is our religion is not God. Our religion is something of this world. Purity of life. Purity and light of the Word of God. Cleansed to the world. Also, when we think about religion and what it means, we need to recognize that religion is something that gives us a sense of direction. It ought to guide us. And of course, this goes along with what we were just talking about, purity of life. It ought to tell us which way to go. How to live. How to conduct ourselves, what needs to happen in our family and who we need to associate with and where our minds are set. Which, as we notice from the writings of both James and John, ought to be the opposite of the world. Friendship with the world is hostility toward God. Whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Religion determines our direction. Most people are focused upon having a good health and a good home. Having security, whether that be security in able to hang on to the things we have or keep people out of our stuff, or it be security in finance or security in health, whatever it may be. Most of the people of the world are focused upon those things. But if we're truly religious in the sight of God, our security and our hope is going to be in Him. We're not going to be so entangled up with the things of this world. We're going to be like a good soldier that separates ourselves from the enemy. We're going to listen and practice diligently the teaching of John in 2 John 2. Do not love the world or the things that are in the world. Why? Because if we love the world, the love of the Father is not in us. All the things of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but from the world. The world's passing away in its lust, but the one who does the will of God is forever. I know right now, when you stop and look, okay, the world is going to pass away, and God, He's going to live forever. It's easy to make that choice sitting here in the pew. But what direction are you going throughout the week? Are you focused upon God or upon the things of this world that are going to pass away? Which matters to you most? Religion is going to determine our direction. If we follow Christ with conviction and purpose, we live that purified life, and it brings about a sense of well-being. And it removes fear and gives us a spirit of victory. Jesus called for all of us to come to Him. Come to Me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle or meek and lowly in heart. And you will find rest to your souls, for My yoke is easy and My burden is light. Jesus said, come to Me and find rest while you carry My burden. Security is one of the things that we can have when we truly come to Christ and give our lives wholly over to Him. When we follow His direction, we can be free from fear. We don't have to worry about what's going to happen to the world. Will we be scared when we find there's a thunderstorm going over and it might have tornadoes? Yeah, we'll probably get scared and go running for the tornado shelter, or stand in the doorway of the house, or get in the basement, or whatever it is we've got prepared for those sort of things. If we hear that somebody's fired off a nuclear missile and it's coming this way, we'll probably try to find somewhere to hide. Because we'll still be scared, because we're still human beings and we still live on this earth. But if our direction and our life is focused on God, we won't be afraid of death. We won't be afraid of loss. We're not going to go stand out in the lightning storm with a golf club sticking up above our head. But it's not going to scare us that our life might end. You know what ought to scare us if our life would end? That we've not been living a pure life, that our direction has been toward the world instead of toward God. Religion, truly understanding and getting religion, can remove fear. Because we understand that true life comes through death. Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for My sake will find it. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me. Paul said, I'm not afraid to die when I go to Jerusalem, as long as I'm dying for the Lord and dying in the Lord. He told brethren elsewhere, for me to die is gain. For me to remain here would be better for you. Leaving this life, profit. Because I go to be with the Father. I'm not afraid to die. I'm not afraid of what the people of this world might do to me. True religion removes that spirit of fear and gives us a spirit of victory. Now, studying this lesson, I started to change this whole point and just go to the book of Revelation. But we're going to do some studies in Revelation later on, so I'll save that for then. But this is what the whole book of Revelation is about, is don't be afraid of death because you won if you're in God, if you're in Christ. We are given freedom by serving God. Romans chapter 6, verse 16 through 18. Present yourself to someone as slave for obedience. You are the slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or obedience resulting in righteousness. Paul says, thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient to the heart, or from the heart, to that form of teaching which you were committed and are now freed from sin and slaves of righteousness. We're free from worry of sin and the world and the problems that might arise because we've given ourselves over as slaves to Jesus, and He'll take care of us. He'll watch over us. He'll protect us. And we know that if we continue faithful to Him, nothing on this earth can touch us. Not kings, not storms, not neighbors, not husbands, not wives, not children, not churches, not religions, not... There's nothing that can take us away from God. As long as we're in Him. Jesus cried out to God before His death on the cross. He said, not my will, but thine be done. We can know victory. Just as we studied not too long ago in the book of 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul recognized victory was his while he was in prison looking at his life being taken away. Paul said, I win. Because he was in Christ. And as he told the Philippian brethren in Philippians 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Whatever is born of God, John says, overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. What helps us overcome the world? Our religion. Our faith in God. Our trust and our hope in Him. Devoting our lives to Him. Serving Him. You ever heard of somebody doing something religiously? You know what that means, don't you? They do it no matter what. They do it regularly. Purposely. They don't seek to avoid it. They do it. Is your religion that way toward God? Is that what you understand when you think about your devotion to God? If so, then you've got victory. Even over death. Death, where's your sting? Grave, where's your victory? Death is swallowed up in victory. The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, you are to be. Knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. through God, we have victory. So I don't fear death. I don't fear terrorists. I don't fear taxes. I don't fear tornadoes. I don't fear my neighbors. I fear God. And as long as I fear Him and serve Him, I am victorious over all of those other things. They can't take that away from us. And if a car comes barreling at me, I'm going to jump out of the way. But I don't fear death. Does your religion mean that to you? Does it mean a spirit of victory? We also need to recognize that it means a challenge. Religion is not easy. There's a lot of people in this world that think religion is easy. I believe in God and I'm done. That's it. Or maybe go so far as to, I show up for worship services fairly regularly every now and then. And so I've got it under control. But religion is not easy. It's challenging. As we've already stated, religion calls for us to turn loose of all the things of this world. To stop putting our focus on them. But they don't matter. That's hard to do sometimes. Because my children matter to me. Whether my house is sealed up and protecting me from the weather matters to me. It's important. I like having a little money in the bank account. I'd like to have more money in the bank in that kind of the attitude that we sometimes have, most of us. We've got to learn to give those things up, though. Not that we have to hand them away, but we need to make sure they're not what's holding us. It's challenging. It's even challenging for those of us who are faithful Christians, especially those of us sometimes that have been faithful Christians for an extended period of time. We look and say, I've been a Christian for that many years. I guess at least 40 now. Some of you a lot longer than that. Well, if I've been a Christian that long, I've got it made. I got it under control. I read my Bible every morning, most of the time. I don't miss it often. I go to church on Sunday. I come back on Wednesday night. I talk to people about Christ if they ask. I live a pretty good life. I'm careful about what I do. I don't drink. I don't cuss. I don't run around on my wife. I don't steal. I don't lie a lot. Really big. So, I'm good. Or, I'm rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing and do not know that I'm wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I've arrived, God. I've got everything I need in order to be religious in your sight, and I'm pleasing unto you and I don't have to worry. And God looks down and says, oops. You forgot. We need to make sure that we're focused on God. The passage of Brother Jimmy read for us, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Have we allowed our comforts and our comfortable state to cause us to be complacent? Have we become like the rich man who decided he had so much stuff to take care of that it was time to tear down his barn and build bigger ones so he could have even more stuff laid aside for him, and then he could just kick back and take it easy? Have we developed to the point in our life that we look at the world and say, I'm not being persecuted, therefore everything is going great, and so I don't have to worry? God is pleased with me? But we haven't taken the time to look at whether God really is pleased or not. If the angel of the Lord were to come down and look at our life, would he remove our candlestick? We need to remember that we belong to God. We were bought with a price, and we need to glorify God in our body, Paul told the Corinthian brethren. It's a challenge. It's easy to develop this attitude of, I've done well and I'm still doing well, and so God must be pleased and I'm all right and everything's okay. I don't have to worry. And forget that we have to continually fight to remain faithful to the Lord. We've got to keep our body under subjection. We've got to guard ourselves against the wickedness, because not only do we have to become pure, we have to remain pure. Keep oneself unspotted. I think we also need to recognize that religion is a refuge and security. True religion. True devotion to God is a place of safety. Be content with what you have, for He has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you, the Hebrew writer encourages. It's a place where we can go and know that God is there. I know whom I have believed and am convinced or persuaded that He is able to guard what I have entrusted to Him until that day. Paul said, all my trust is in God. I give everything to Him. You know, we could go back and look at some of the things we've considered in our Bible studies on Wednesday night in regards to what Jesus had done to the people. And the demonstration He gave in a physical sense of what He does with us and what we have and what we will give to Him. Peter and his fishing partners gave Jesus a boat and some nets, and He gave them a lot of fish, more than enough. Some folks at a wedding feast gave Jesus water, and He gave them the wine to drink for the festival, better than what had been provided before. They gave Him the lunch from a young boy, and He fed 5,000 with it, and had more left over than He started with. I mention those things not saying that God is going to perform miracles in our life today, but they're a demonstration that God can take whatever we give Him and make it even more. Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God caused the growth. Whatever we are willing to give to the Lord, He will return back to us heaped up and running over. No, Dan did not just say, if you give God all your money, He'll make you rich. That is not what I said. He will take the work that we do for Him and do more with it than we could do ourselves. He becomes our keeper and our helper if we're willing to give Him our heart, our soul, and our mind. To put our trust in Him with all our heart at all times and not lean on our own understanding. Submit ourselves completely to the will of God and let it be our authority in all things. And we will be blessed. Continue in the things you've learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you've learned them. And from a child you've known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture inspired by God is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Notice he didn't say equipped for most good works or equipped for really special things. Every good work. And if we're doing a work in accordance with the will of God, for the cause of God, isn't it a good work? We need to be willing to present ourselves as slaves to obedience. As Paul told the Roman brethren in Romans chapter 12, we need to present our bodies as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God. And He'll take care of us. I didn't put this on the screen, but the whole time I'm looking at this point and thinking about this, both while studying and now, one verse keeps coming round and around and around in my mind. You know what Matthew 6 verse 33 says? If we'll put our focus on serving God first, He'll take care of us. True religion, undefiled. Religion that is focused upon God in accordance with God's will and as it ought to be. Bring us refuge and security. It's not easy, but it will allow us to be victorious. It will remove our fear. It will give us direction. It will tell us which way to go. It will tell us how to act in any situation, under any circumstances. But we need to purify ourselves and keep ourselves pure. The Bible tells us if God is for us, who can be against us? If we truly understand religion, and we are truly religious as the Bible talks about, religious, righteous and holy in the sight of God, completely devoted to Him, there are great blessings, great comfort, security, and eternal life with God awaiting when this world is over. What does religion mean to you? What is your religion? Maybe that's the way to ask that question. What is your life focused on? If we put our focus upon Calvary and the sacrifice that was made there on our behalf, the simple, earnest commands that are given to us by God in order to take advantage of that sacrifice, we can have our burdens lifted. We can live without fear and know that we will be in heaven when this life is over. It goes into your own heart. Are you serving God? Each of us here this morning has made a decision about our life. At one point, every one of us here has said, I will stand with Christ. I will submit myself to Him. Are we still submitted to Him? Are we still following Him, devoted to Him? If not, Jesus calls for you to return. Confess your wrongs and ask Him to forgive and promise that He'll wipe your sins away as if they may be. If you've never obeyed the gospel, opportunity is yours to become a part of the body of Christ. Submit yourself in obedience to the will of the Lord. Confess your belief in Jesus as the Son of God and be buried in the waters of baptism so that you might have your sin washed away. And rise up out of that watery grave, a new creature, one who is a child of God. And devote your life to serving Him. If you find there's something in your life that's amiss in the congregation from the sister in getting life, why don't you come and let your desire be known when we stand and sing.